Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 202 for Thursday, January the 14th, 2016. I'm Morps. This is the show about stuff that interests me. I am currently drinking a pint of dragon's milk because I figured I was going to need it. BSV, what are you drinking?
Sadly, only sugar water, caffeine, and CO2. I don't know what mixture of those three, but...
You just went up to the soda machine and hit the random button.
it would sound more badass if you called it carbonic acid, which is what it is.
So, Madman, what are you drinking? Please tell me you didn't mix carbonic acid with anything.
No, it's Dos Equis.
Nice. Nice. Fox, what do you got?
I got some 10-year Lafroy.
Ooh. Fancy. Alright, Static. So far, Fox has the fanciest drink. You gotta top him.
Old Bartons with heroin and carbonic, whatever Madman said.
Well, so much
for that.
I don't have that loader.
Come
on.
Soundboard. Where's my winning sound?
Okay, here you go.
No, 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 sorry.
Dragons! They're trying to lay off the soundboard.
Clearly not a wacky sound effect, Sue.
Yeah, trying to lay off the soundboard, if anything, but, you know, just... You gotta keep the na-na-na-na Sard ready and the... At the Alex Jones... What else should I keep ready here just while I'm setting shit up? I gotta keep that.
I mean, come on, if you built the soundboard, you might as well use it.
Emergency! Emergency! Emergency!
Actually, I'm gonna leave Leroy up. Alright, so... I got a little story from work you guys will find hilarious. So... We discovered a server, physical server of all things, that had been set up by somebody who had left the company involuntarily over a year ago. And it wasn't doing anything. Wasn't internet exposed, wasn't running anything. It's just this box turned on, not doing jack, right? And it was actually set up as a... kind of a network tap. Well, its hard drive had filled up sometime in 2014. So it really wasn't doing anything because it wasn't capable of it. But, you know, we discovered that, you know, somebody was asking for the function that this box used to provide 2 years ago, and they needed it now, right? So my boss says, hey, go down to the data center, find this thing, and nobody knows what the password to it is, so you're going to have to break into it. And I'm getting all excited. I haven't had to professionally, break into a system in a while, right? So I'm like, ooh, I've got an excuse to break out the toys. So I go down to the data center and get in there and hook up the console because it's like, well, it's a Linux box. So if it looks like it's going to take too long, I'll just give up going to single user mode and reset the root password, right? Plug in the console, flip it open, and it's sitting at a root prompt already logged in. Damn it!
Just type in a bunch of random characters to reset the password.
If you don't know
what they are. Then you get to crack it.
I thought about that just to make it look more badass, but it's like, no. They've got people, you know, high enough up in the company bitching at them. It's like, I can't go too crazy here, and I don't have a good excuse. Because nobody really knew what the box was doing, I kind of needed to get as much original data off of it as I could. So I really couldn't mangle it too much. But if I had the right excuse, but it was just like already sitting at a root prompt, it's like, I don't even get to play? I mean, it's like, congratulations, you win. I didn't want a participation award. I wanted to actually... Damn it.
Congratulations, you showed up to work today.
What it was. So
it's like buying a Powerball ticket and only winning $2.
Yeah. So, and it's like, you know, you go check how long has that root cell been logged in? The day before the guy was fired. Oh, well. Dang.
Nice. Wait, hold on a second. You all moved buildings, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like recently.
Data at the data center. This was at the we have a third part. We have our data center.
Okay. That would have been hilarious though.
Like they moved it on and nobody bothered.
Yes. Yes. That would have been even a more badass story.
But still, it's just kind of like because the guy who left was like a fairly decent Linux guy, so it's like I'm gonna have to break into a system that somebody who knew what they were doing is set up. I'm gonna have some fun first. Oh. Like I'm gonna go back outside and relock the safe so I can try again, guys. This was too easy. No. Fuck. So I don't know. I just thought that was amusing, thought I would share. Anybody else have any?
That's pretty funny.
Any fun stories before we start the show here?
No? I spent 45 minutes explaining to someone what a URL was.
Yeah, my balls.
So my wife is starting a new job teaching and had to call the help desk there at her new place, university, and they asked her what operating system she was using, and she told them Microsoft 2013.
Nice.
I shook my head and walked out of the room.
Well, we'll just leave it at that. So, first thing, I guess for the discussion tonight, New York is looking to, they've proposed a bill, they haven't passed it, but New York State has proposed a bill that will ban the sale of smartphones if the encryption cannot be bypassed by the manufacturer.
So all smartphones are illegal in New York, or will be soon?
To sell them, yeah. A proposed bill in New York seeks to require that all smartphones sold in the state can be decrypted or unlocked, and proposes hefty fines for vendors failing to comply. The proposed law marks the latest effort by lawmakers to make it easy for law enforcement to access and read encrypted data on smartphones. Should the proposed bill successfully pass through New York State Assembly and Senate, Apple and Google could face fines of $2,500 per device sold in the state after January 1, 2016.
What they do is they start selling all their stuff in Jersey.
So what, retroactively? Yeah, January 1, 2016. So they're going to go back retroactively and find them in the past. That's kind of not cool.
Good luck with that.
Sounds like a shitty money grab to me.
A retailer knowingly sold a smartphone that could not be unlocked or decrypted by the device manufacturer. In other words, there's no requirement for Apple or Google or device makers to create a backdoor. But if any manufacturer wants to sell a smartphone in the state, the device would need to comply with those requirements or else face a civil suit by the attorney general or district attorney. New Yorkers who have an option about the proposal before, or who have an opinion before the about the proposal before it goes to the assembly, can give it a aye or nay via a polling widget on the New York Senate. They have a web poll. They have a web poll.
I wonder how that's going to work out for him.
I can tell you exactly how this is going to work out. The head of Apple and then the head of any other company is just going to call up the governor and say, "Hi, you know that election that you want to ever win again?
Yeah.
So, do you know what bill you're vetoing? Second question. If you get either of these wrong, you're not going to be elected again, and you may be shot."
No, there's no way this will pass. If not only because of that, but it's even simpler. You know, Apple will just call up, you know, the legislator and be like, "Hi, so you're going to ban the sale of all of our phones in the state. We're not going to change our operating system. We're just going to start selling them in Jersey and let people cross the border to go buy them. Your loss of sales revenue, servicing, and everything else regarding all these, you know, say Apple stores and AT&T and all these other people who are going to be, you know, moving business out of the state if that actually happens. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, no. I just want to know, like, what the hell they were thinking like put his like whoever Titone, Walter T. Mosley, and Patricia Fay were who are the sponsors of this bill. What the hell are you thinking? Like, oh yeah, we're gonna just buy all these Syrian refugees with their new iPhones. Like, that's not how any of this is going to work.
Nothing works that way.
They were thinking exactly what you just said a second ago. Oh look, we can try to grab some money.
I think you're right. It's either a money grab or they honestly think that the state of New York is going to convince Apple and Google to completely rework how their operating system store data. Yeah, right.
They're trying to protect us from the brown people.
Is that what they're doing? Because I don't care.
They can't get away with any other internet boogeyman or anything like that, so therefore, terrorism.
Well, you know, at least they dropped the whole, if you want your phone encrypted, you're supporting the pedophiles argument, because that got old pretty quick.
Yeah. Like I said, they roll out the internet boogeyman of, pedophiles and terrorism or anything like that when they want to get something passed, and it is. You're right, though. It is. It's exactly getting very fucking old. Like, really? This shit again?
Well, it's like, do you people not even understand that encryption on these devices is the reason people are willing to spend money with them? Like, oh my god, go look at how much money is flowing through the app stores and through online shopping through mobile devices. It's a lot.
Yeah.
If your phone's not encrypted and it's saving all of your shit, well, okay, people are dumb and would be putting their shit in there anyways, but it wouldn't take very long before somebody went, oh, look, you can pick up anybody's phone, hook it up to a computer, and steal their credit cards before, just wouldn't happen. It'd be like online when online banking and shopping first started out, it took years for people to get comfortable with that concept. Does anybody else remember back in the 90s where it's like, oh, don't buy anything online, you'll get your credit card stolen?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's anyway, there's so many apps now that, like, your phone becomes your credit card. It sends out that, RFID signal or...
Well, Apple has one, Samsung has one, Google has one.
And you just want to unencrypt that, just let it kind of hang out there.
Yeah, just let that go in clear text. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Watch how quickly I build my scanner and go around collecting shit. I mean, holy crap.
I'm all for it.
And so far, bulk data collection has saved exactly zero people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure somebody who owns stock in, Seagate and Western Digital is really loving.
I'm certain they're loving it. It just hasn't saved anyone. Unless, that dude from Western Digital's like, man, I'm going to commit suicide unless the U.S. government tries to store the internet in a server in Omaha.
Just saying,
they're going to cha-ching. I'm Richard and fuck now.
Just saying, people, buy stock in NetApp, buy stock in Dell Bottom. Shoot, so I guess Dell. Buy IBM
fuck
has some
good
storage solutions too. I can't believe I'm blanking on that data storage solution that Dell bought. That
crap.
I don't know this. EMC. No.
EMC, thank you. Yeah. No. Dang it.
Didn't Dell buy EMC?
Yeah.
Yeah, EMC. Yeah, that's it.
That is it. I was just saying, all of our shit got rebranded when they bought them.
Yeah. So, buy stock in EMC, buy stock in NetApp, Western Digital, Seagate. Because all this bulk collection and insistence on collecting everything. Samsung makes SSDs too, so.
I mean, hell, Windows 10 will damn near do it for you, though. I mean,
isn't that the joke?
Yeah.
I was seriously looking at Proxmox going, can I pass my video card through to a Windows VM so I can still game? And I think you can. I may put a second set of hard drives in my machine so I can run Proxmox and virtualize my Windows install.
Yeah, because Microsoft does not need to know everything that you're doing. That's my biggest hang up with Windows 10 right now. It's the whole, all the hoops you have to jump through to disable telemetry. I mean, yes, I know there's, single-click scripts and shit like that out there, but the fact you have to do it in the first place is the...
Yeah, well, I mean, I like Anti-Beacon, personally. That's the tool I'm using. But
that's what Sarge was talking about the other day.
My Intel laptop running Xubuntu is where I do a lot of stuff now. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So let's build some boxes, just script them out to go to the most fucked up places on the internet, and see if we can really warp Cortana.
I bet you could. But it's tied to a Microsoft account, though. Actually, you know what, Madman? We're gonna move a story I was saving to the end, right up front, because of that comment right there.
I'm just thinking, it's taking all the searches that everyone does and trying to refine itself, and the same thing with the voice recognition and all that shit. I wonder if we can warp this thing enough that some innocent child somewhere can say, I don't know, show me the newest Mario game, and it gets 1,000 gigs of midget porn shoved into his face.
No.
Yes.
So you don't want to pipe the audio feed of a 24/7 loop of Pornhub straight into Cortana's voice recognition?
Not for kids. Come on.
Okay, not for kids. Just some random dude that stands inside. It's been degrading for a while.
I mean, come on. They keep telling us to think of the children.
Except like for that, not weird guy that in the corner. Way. He's not allowed to think of children anymore.
Oh, that's why my arm gets so tired. Fuck.
Oh, God, that's a little much. Okay.
Come on, really? Dude, you know who this group is, for fuck's sake.
So, okay. We're going to move up this story. This is actually going to be like the stinger at the end of the news, but it's just hilarious. It's from Ars Technica. Google Translate dubs Russia Mordor and Russians occupiers.
Yes!
Google Translate has been making some rather unflattering conversions when going from Ukrainian to Russian. Russia becomes Mordor, Russians become occupiers, and Sergei Lavrov, Russia's foreign minister, became sad little horse. Such translations are a product of Google's automated approach to translation. The service does not rely on manual translations, but instead picks up patterns from hundreds of millions of documents that Google indexes for its search engine. The disparaging terms apparently became widely used by Ukrainian soldiers and activists after the Russian invasion and annexation of Crimea. In a statement, Google explained that this automation meant that not all translations are perfect and there will be some mistakes or mistranslations. We always work to correct these as quickly as possible when they are brought to our attention. So not only does this, it's kind of smart on Google's part to like be scanning forums and stuff and seeing how people are talking, so it'll pick up on slang and things like that and inflection and but when everybody calls Russia Mordor,
whoops! Like the nerdy Lord of the Rings reference in the middle of an invasion.
But you know,
one does not simply drive a tank into Mordor.
No, you use thermonuclear weaponry.
This does, however, mean that their engine is obviously open to being gamed. So, does anybody else remember the Monty Python sketch of the? What was the guy from the like Bolivian or something like that? The bad translation book.
Oh God, yeah, those things were fucking hilarious. Yeah, he walks in and he's. Pulls out his translator. It's like "borka borka borka borka" to the Swedish guy, and he kicks his ass because it's you. Instead of saying like "hello," and like a Danish was like, "I fucked your wife last night with a pickle."
He pulls the translation book. He looks into it, and then the guy punches him. Yeah,
dirty Hungarian phrase book.
That's it, Hungarian phrase book. Yes, I can't wait for somebody to start gaming Google like that, like a lot. Because, let's be honest, if you're translating from English to Somalian, you're not ever going to really know.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you're just throwing it out there for doing six against the wall. But, I don't know, they're automated translate where you can hold up the, you know, your phone's camera up to a sign in another language and it, like, live translated. That's pretty fucking awesome.
Or just the automated translate of, you talk to your phone, it spits out whatever in whatever language you need has been very useful.
And if you can game that...
It makes it useful and hilarious.
Yes.
Hello, sir. I need to see your driver's license. Translated. Hello, sir. I have a gun.
Oh. Hey, maybe this explains what happened on New Year's in... no, never mind.
The fried chicken is right poisonous.
I'm going to stop that joke right now.
Yeah, because everyone knows all those immigrants stole the iPhones from the chicks they were groping.
And that's why they need a backdoor to hack them.
All right, this next story is also from Ars Technica. Like I said, I just rearranged the order on the fly here, so I normally try to keep them, two stories from the same site separate. A critical bug that can leak secret cryptographic keys has just been fixed in OpenSSH, one of the more widely used implementations of the Secure Shell protocol. The vulnerability resides only in the version end users use to connect the servers and not in versions used by servers. A maliciously configured server could exploit it to obtain the contents of the connecting computer's memory, including the private encryption key used for the SSH connection. The bug is a result of code that enables an experimental roaming feature in OpenSSH versions 5.4 to 7.1. The matching server code has never been shipped, but the client code was enabled by default and could be tricked by a malicious server into leaking client memory to the server, including private client user keys, OpenSSH officials wrote in an advisory published Thursday, today. The authentication of the server host key prevents exploitation by a man-in-the-middle, so this information leak is restricted to connections to malicious or compromised servers. The advisory said that anybody using a vulnerable version should update right away. Those who are unable to update should disable roaming, by adding the string use roaming no to the global SSH config or to the user configuration in SSH config, or by entering dash roaming equals no on the command line. So, pretty much what this was is they were starting to implement this roaming feature into SSH, changed their mind, decided against it, yanked the code out of the server, never pulled it out of the clients. And so because it's this half-finished feature that was never really used, if you set up a server correctly, it could just start stealing crap out of your clients' memories. So you'd have to, you couldn't force it. You'd have to invite somebody to connect to your server. But there are a lot of websites out there that set up free shells, so...
Yeah.
Use a little bit of caution if you're connecting to servers you aren't really sure of. And this doesn't endanger SSH, it just goes for anything. If you're connecting to a system and you're not sure what it does, use a virtual machine. Just, it's like a condom, just put the damn thing on.
That's exactly the analogy I was going to make. Like, you're not going to connect to anything wetware without, having some sort of protection. Don't do it digitally either.
Exactly. Even better, live CD, and I do mean CD, not flash drive, and use a machine with no hard drive in it, so it literally cannot save anything. That's kind of an oddball setup. You have to have a laptop that you've murdered for that, but
that'd be great for your Cortana,
experiment where you're just feeding a live stream of a, I don't know,
yeah,
website and.
Yeah, no battery in the laptop. Just pull the power cord if someone knocks on your door.
Sir, we're here to take you to jail. For what? Well, we're going to need to seize this laptop as evidence. You go right ahead, sir.
It's all yours. Here you go. Have fun storming the castle.
So, yeah. Good to know. Update OpenSSH if you can. If you can't, do the connection changes. And again, this is, you have to connect to a bad guy server for anything to happen. Or a server that's been hacked, which is probably the more likely scenario. Although, if it was me, personally, if somebody broke into my server, I'd be a lot more concerned about, whatever was on the server than them getting memory out of clients. But, once you kind of get in, it's how many ways can you exploit, so...
But it depends on what you've gotten into, though. If someone breaks into like Sony's database or something like that, and your people are off-site connecting to like this major database, and they're vulnerable now.
Yeah, that's a point. All right, next one up is from The Stack. Google-owned smart homeware company Nest has asked users to reset their connected thermostats after a software bug forced controllers offline and left owners unable to heat their homes. So, an automatic update that Nest put out killed people's thermostats. In the middle of winter, and you can't heat your house.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you think with automatic updates that it would run in a dev environment for a little while, and even if you didn't have your dev nest like hardwired all the time, you'd at least test that, or make sure that your automatic updates go out in a time of the year where if your heating or cooling went offline, your home was not going to be destroyed by burst pipes, or you weren't going to freeze to death.
The company has confirmed that a software update error has caused the thermostat's batteries to drain, therefore making it unable to control the temperature. Users of the smart home device took to social media to express their anger at being left with cold houses. Some feared that the fault had put water pipes under pressure, risking bursting. Nest, founded by former Apple worker, blah, 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 blah. The smart system, which costs €249, learns temperature preferences and connects to the internet to allow owners to remotely manage heating and hot water from their homes. So, you know, story time. I actually had a smart thermostat. It was not a Nest. It was through a home alarm system. They also offered home automation. And, you know, of course, I had to play with it, right? But I actually ended up keeping the old thermostat. You know, just the basic, you know, AA powered set the temperature thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
I kept it because, you know, you never know what's going to happen with one of these smart thermostats, right? And it was a damn good thing I did because the smart thermostat got some kind of a short in it and just started popping the fuses on the circuit board of my heating and air unit. So it was nice to have the other thermostat to pop back on and, you know, replace the little fuse and then, you know, have my air conditioner working again. So, yeah, these smart thermostats are cool and all, but you probably ought to hang on to the original thermostat you had. Just throw it in a box and,
it's kind of an interesting correlation of, like, the early 90s with corded versus cordless telephones in your house. Your original, you know, roto-dial, hardline phone, your power could go out, but the phone was getting enough power off of the phone line that it would keep working, so you could use your telephone if your power was out.
And so do you ever play with pulling power off your phone line? You can run, like, a little lamp off those things.
Yeah,
There's a lot of voltage in those.
Believe me, I remember when I was first learning how to rewire things, I shocked the crap out of myself just fucking with phone line wire because it was, you know, small, easy wire to mess around with. And it's like, okay, I just need to switch these pairs here. And like, oh, fuck, those are live. but it's just it's like the same thing. Like, you know, people nowadays either have your cell phone or I don't think anybody has a corded phone anymore. But I remember in the beginning it was like, yeah, keep a landline, you know, that's corded to the wall dedicated. Just to get, like, if your power goes out, you can't use your phone anymore. I mean, I know cell phones are taking care of that, but I wonder if that's going to, you know, in the future, you're going to look back at, like, wow, people used to have, like, wired thermostats and other shit in their house.
You know, actually, you say cell phones have taken care of that, but cell phones actually have the same problem. It just takes their battery longer to die. If your power is going to be out for more than a day, your average iPhone's only going to make it a day and a half, depending on what you do with it. And if your power's out, most people are going to be sitting there playing games on their phone to pass the time. I know during previous disasters, you hear about people going out in their cars to charge their phones up. But I kind of wonder, I don't remember the voltage in the phone line now. I wanted to say 48 volts, but I don't think that's right. I don't think it was that much.
Set up a charger from the old phone lines that are still in every house?
Why not?
That would be an amazing idea, actually.
How hard would it be? I mean, seriously, how hard would it be to make a little USB charger off the voltage and phone line?
You just need to have it connect to the adapter in the phone line.
Here we go. Thank you, Google. The POTS telephone line with all phones on hook should measure around 48 volts. Yeah, so it was 48 volts.
Yeah, it's at about 50 to 60 volts. When the phone rings, the signal jumps out to about 90 volts.
So, actually, there's an instructables. We're going to add this to Digital Dojo. The link's in Digital Dojo, because I'm talking about it now. where there's a video from Make of how to hook up a phone line to charge your cell phone. So let's see what circuit they're using here. Get a multimeter out and check it. Yeah, should be around that. So what are they hooking it up to? They're just using a voltage regulator to get it down to 5 volts and then plugging that into a USB cord. Like, you know, the little Radio Shack 7805?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Why not?
So,
since they run on different lines, power lines go down, you can still get some electricity off that. I mean, honestly, it's easier to buy, like, a solar charger battery or something like that to charge your phones or...
Yeah, but if you're in some kind of an outage situation, I bet you're going to find an unused telephone jack long before you'll find a nice bright spot of sun.
Yeah, depending on what time of year it is and where you are.
And you know, what all's going on, you may not want to leave your phone, you know, someplace, you know, because I've played with one of those little solar panels before. It takes all day to recharge your phone.
Yeah.
Whereas this thing, if it's getting in a voltage, could do it as, you know, hour or so, right?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. And, like, that's kind of interesting. I wonder if they, like, recharge, like, a UPS or something like that. Something
with, I don't know about battery. A UPS.
Well, I mean, like, on a trickle charge or something.
Well, there's the article, but, I mean, they're taking 48.
I'm doing the same, found the same thing right now. Yeah.
That's interesting. So,
that's a little project.
I don't know that I have one of those 5 volt regulators floating around anymore. I used to have several of them because I used to make USB chargers out of 9 volts with them. But if I can find one, I'll try that.
I say that's why Radio Shack's still open.
Well, you know, around here it's actually not.
Oh well, shit. That's why Amazon's still.
Come back to the hometown. Yeah. It is.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Do they still have ports? Yeah, I mean, that's worth trying.
They have some.
That's going to be worth trying.
Yeah.
How much will you save on your power bill by charging your cell phone off the freaking phone line? Because, you know, that's not metered.
Yeah.
What else could you charge off of it?
It's 48 volts, but I didn't see much on amperage, so... It probably depends. The amperage probably depends on how much other crap you have going through it, and how many other people are using it. And if any of your neighbors are on DSL, they may not appreciate you.
Serves them right for being on DSL. Webs.
Oh. So.
But all right. Back to the original story.
It looks like most articles say 6 to 12 volts when not in use. So.
They have dedicated hardware that they completely control. Why in the world did something that bad get out in a patch?
Why does Microsoft put out patches that completely break Windows, or any virus companies put out definitions that to completely destroy an operating your system? It's because they don't test. It's more important to get the patch out the door to get the features they want than it is to actually test and make sure they're not breaking shit.
Now, I guess the follow-up question is, can you disable automatic updates on your Nest?
I hope so. Probably not. Yeah. You can't turn it off in Windows 10. You can't turn it off on your phones, hardly.
Well, so, I mean, you figure it's connecting to your Wi-Fi to get its updates and all that. You probably edit your host file, hopefully, or block that IP on your modem or router or something.
I bet it uses the same IP that it does if you want to control it from your phone.
Ooh. Maybe something to investigate.
You could do it, but then it defeats the point, because I'll bet that thing doesn't do any of the work on itself. At that point, it becomes a dumb thermostat, just like anything else, because I'll bet all the work of it learning your preferences is really in an account on their servers.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not even their servers. It's probably Amazon servers, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, somewhere in the cloud. But no, I know that'd be a really shitty thing. Like, you know, imagine... You're some guy we know that lives in Canada. You go on vacation. Instead of having your buddy come by to check on your house and, you know, make sure your cat hasn't destroyed everything, you're just like, oh yeah, my Nest, it's set for, you know, decent temperature. I can leave it alone. It'll be fine. Oh, that goes offline. Hey, it's -4 in your house. All your pipes are burst. All your cats are dead. You know, it's...
Yeah.
pretty quick and easy to fuck everything up with this. But
or do the reverse, set the thermostat to about 1 billion degrees and
when your house is on fire.
At least the cats will be warm.
Yeah, nothing was lost.
We don't care about prepping Cortana to show Mario porn to children, but we care about people's cats dying in fires.
No, you missed the point. I don't care.
Right. Well, I care more about the cats than the children, but whatever.
I don't know.
Have kids and see what happens.
Fuck no, I don't want one of those squalling little crap factories that sucks up all your money. If a dog or a cat shits on the floor, you throw it outside, you do that to your kid, and they call CPS. I guess they take it away for you, which is a win-win situation.
Yes, but they tend to take you away, too.
Yeah, that's the part I was missing.
It's getting bad enough now, though. You do that to the dog or cat, they're going to take you away anyways.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Fox, have you looked at the price of a child? Probably makes some decent money selling them. Part of them out.
Well,
No. Not that. Tax breaks.
Tax breaks, schmax breaks. Do you have an idea how much it would cost to like stuff one of those things in a thing of luggage and take it down to like the Philippines or somewhere in Asia? Like the profit versus loss risk is it's just not fair.
So next story up is from Mars Technica.
Sorry, wrong show. This isn't I Have Nothing. I apologize.
We haven't been doing I Have Nothing for years now. How are we still making this mistake? Oh wait.
Yeah, because it's us and I miss it.
We don't have a proper outlet.
Well, yeah. And I'm not making the number system. Oh, God, we're not doing that shit again.
Also getting the year right now, which is just throwing everything off.
That joke got old.
Yeah, well, so did your mom, but people still do her.
But people, wow. He does mean your father.
Yeah, he does, but that's, I mean, just, you
but
know.
Also a lot of other people.
Emergency. Emergency. Emergency.
Oh, come on. I was looking for the kick button on that one.
I would.
Fuck it, we do it live.
I would honestly kick him out of the channel, but I've got all the TeamSpeak sounds disabled on the broadcast box, so you wouldn't hear the lovely user was kicked from your channel. Which would have been the response.
Sorry, it happened to be just too quick and easy. Also, like your brother.
Did you forget you're not talking to Are You here? I mean, come on.
Oh, shit, I'm not. Yeah, I haven't heard or met of your mother, so I apologize. I'm sure she's a classy lady. Which doesn't really explain to you much.
Wow.
This devolved quickly.
I like this show. Let's keep going.
Let me just get on Amazon here. I'm going to need some burn cream and some 45 caliber rounds. Okay. So a security vendor says it discovered a flaw in Comcast home security system. I already heard all this crap. So instead of reading out the article, I'm going to summarize it. The security system that Comcast is selling as part of their cable TV system uses Zigbee-based radios for the sensors, the alarms, and stuff like that. Well, it turns out you can jam those, like, a lot, and the system fails open. So if you go in with a radio blaster, and by radio blaster, I mean a crystal on the appropriate, a little crystal hooked up to an antenna on the appropriate frequency with a 9-volt battery, you know, all the
sensors. So you can have some hippie druid in your front yard with a 9-volt battery and a doctor crystal fuck all your shit up, huh?
Fox, you know what the hell I mean when I say a crystal, right?
I know, I'm drunk. I apologize. Gotcha, is delicious, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, it is. That's okay, I've been drinking a lot, too. But, I actually mean crystal in the form of electronics. However, I suppose if you, want to do the hippie thing and hold up a crystal, I don't know where you're going to create a crystal that size to the appropriate frequency, but hey, if you've got one.
That's how watches are powered, damn it.
You've been watching Stargate again, haven't you?
Maybe.
Okay. Anyways, so pretty much if you can put out enough noise on the Zigbee frequencies, the sensors won't be able to talk back to the alarm panel. It'll fail open, and they won't reset for hours. So you knock all the sensors offline with a little radio jammer, you know, the kind you can get off of AliExpress for like $20, and the alarm system never goes off. It fails open. It doesn't even report that it can't talk to the sensors. Oh, and Comcast, there is Rapid7 put out a hilarious blog post on this, by the way, where they were like, "Yeah, we like tried a whole bunch of email addresses. We couldn't find anybody at Comcast to actually talk to about this." And so then they submitted the CVE, and the CVE, the organization that manages those, couldn't get a hold of anybody at Comcast. So finally, they just publicly disclosed it because they couldn't get a hold of anybody. And again, Comcast lose their shit of, how dare you expose this without doing proper disclosure? You didn't warn us before you did it. Now all of our customers at risk. We're using industry standard stuff. It's just like,
you know, for as terrible of a company as Comcast is with their ISP service, if you trust them to your home security, you kind of deserve what you get.
Well, there is that.
I can kind of see where they cause it to fail open rather than blowing the alarms off, because 911 would fuck Comcast over after the 100th time that happened.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But it should at least realize that it's failed.
Yeah, I think like failing open is a good thing for a scuba regulator. Maybe not so much for a home security system.
Well, I'm of the opinion now, and this is actually having had an alarm system on my previous house I owned, you probably would be better served creating your own. Buying some cameras, buying some sensors, and just building it out of an old PC or some Raspis or something, and building your own and just using your internet connection to like send your phone a notification or something.
You're just mad because the cat called the cops and we kept playing with your garage door.
Well, the garage door was funny, I'll be honest.
But, it was.
And yeah, hey, the cat calling the cops got me out of work for like most of that day. Because they said it was so I guess the story there is my glass break sensor went off, and so the alarm company calls me and says, somebody broke in your front window. And it's like, oh God. So I, you know, my boss says, all right, go. So I go see what the hell's going on at the house. I'm thinking some kids have thrown a brick through a window, right? Well, I get home, nothing's wrong, and there's the note on the door that the cops have already been there and couldn't find anything wrong with the place other than the noise going off inside. I get inside, the cat had gotten up in the cabinet and knocked a glass down.
Well, so your alarm did detect a glass breakage, just not one that you gave a shit about.
Yeah, so the cat called the cops, basically.
Nice.
But no, I think there's enough tech out there now that is cheaply available that you could functionally build your own home alarm system, tune it to yourself, and you know, just use your internet connection. Is it going to automatically call the police? No. But if you get, you know, there's the picture of the guys in ski masks and they've got your dog, you know, you can just dial 911 right from your desk at work and be like, yeah, there's guys breaking into my house. Would you please send an officer over there with a shotgun? So.
Please don't shoot my dog.
Well, that's why you build the secondary security system that's the box containing a drone with a shotgun.
I don't know that you're allowed to do that.
Don't.
Because I remember we had the story a while back. I think it was IHN.
Don't break into BSB's house.
Yeah, well, there's that.
I know if it's a dumb trap or that it's not, well, it's
BSB,
illegal, but if you're controlling the drone...
Problem with breaking into your house is not the traps, it's the shit you haphazardly leave laying around.
What am I supposed to do with all the barrels of toxic waste and...
Well, storing them next to the window just isn't cool. Sard almost lost a foot. I mean...
The same thing any self-respecting meth cook does. You move when you're fucking done.
Or you fill up empty propane cylinders and leave them in the desert.
So, moving on. Good show.
So, I mean, definitely, like, I think, honestly, most of the security that you gain by most of these home security systems is the little sign in your front yard that says, hey, I've got a fucking alarm.
That's true. The other security you get is the alarm going off and people panicking and running.
Yeah, I mean, all you need to do is, you know, if you are setting it up on your own, just, yeah, have that PC crank the speakers up in your, in like, right by the front door and...
You know, just have it start blasting, I don't know, Justin Bieber or Rebecca Black. That'll get anybody out of your house so fast it's not even funny.
True. Yeah, the you just invented a better, an even better thing, or, you know, you get some hot chick to record the clack, clack. I have a gun and I don't know how to use it. and like, men from, like, 3-block radius are, like, jumping out their window and taking cover.
Well, you know, you could go for broke, go BSV style, and dig a 20-foot pit in your basement and just use the traps to direct them to the basement.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the taser again.
I don't see a taser. Oh, I wired the floor. See, this button here does that.
Oh, right. You don't. Click.
Next story is from Torrent Freak. Last year, the UK government announced a plan to increase the maximum prison sentence for online copyright infringement to 10 years. Yeah, you really wanted that Rihanna album, didn't you?
What's the term for rape or murder in the UK?
Probably not 10 years, I don't know.
Yeah!
Depends on whether or not you're an immigrant, I think. The current maximum of 2 years is not enough to deter infringers, lawmakers argue. The plan followed a recommendation put forward by a study commissioned by blah, 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 blah. There were only 21 responses supporting the plan out of a total of 1,032 responses that when the government put out, you know, a request for comment on making it 10 years. the most common quote being, 10 years is too high, copyright infringement is not a serious crime. So, yeah. I just love this, that the UK public was like, 10 years? For what, downloading a song? Really?
No money, no property has been damaged, no lives have been taken. The penalty for copyright infringement criminally should be nothing. If you want to, go out and sue someone.
Yeah,
I'll pay you the 95 cents for a song.
It almost ought to be like a speeding infraction. I mean, that's annoying, but it's not going to ruin your life.
Like, should barely rank misdemeanor, honestly. Mm.
It's ridiculous. Shouldn't be criminal.
It should be civil. Oh, well, I just realized I was being ableist there, saying it shouldn't ruin your life. I guess people don't know how to manage money. It would, but that's not the
point. Stay off of Tumblr, Morphs.
Yeah, well, Tumblr in Action is such a fun subreddit.
It is. It's hilarious, but don't fall into their trap. It's a trap, and I don't mean Caitlyn Jenner.
Nice.
So the thing is, like, you know, you look back to, like, the 70s and 80s where people were making recordings off of their radio and making mixtapes out of that, and it didn't kill the music industry, and I know the music industry, like, went off on this big thing where, oh, yeah, home cassette players are going to ruin us, and then, you know, look at that, nothing happened, and... You know, movie industries were saying, oh, VHS is going to ruin us, and nothing happened. Netflix is going to ruin us, nothing happened. It's the same thing. They're doing this panicky money grab again. That's what it all boils down to. Because they think they're owed more money than they should get. No, I'm not paying $20 for a shit CD with, like, one song that is decent and everything else. You just kind of, yeah, fucking make 20 songs, hurry the fuck up, or we're not paying you. You know, your 5 cents royalties off of the millions that we get.
You know, I'll be honest. If the people who made the music saw a larger share of those sales, I would feel a lot worse about piracy.
Oh, yeah. Granted, that's why even though I had access to all of Tak's music, I still paid Tak for his albums because it went directly to the person making the music.
And that's the thing. Online music is going to do that. Same with movies, for the most part. Don't know about TV. That one's still a weird thing. But, I mean, it's silly because you have these companies basically claiming they own the genre of music. We've been over so many times.
The only thing they do is they push the artist out there. They look, I made you popular. It's like, well, no, their talent made them popular. You can try to push out a shitty artist like, you know, Justin Bieber, and I guess you drug some people into liking him. But when it comes down to it, it's like, if the artist is shit, they're only going to live for so long and, you know, make you so much money. And I guess they're taking the whole, like, milk it for what it's worth and throw it in the garbage, hence Justin Bieber, you know, versus somebody that could really turn out some great albums and they can keep going, you know, like your big artists and the people that really make it famous and can get by without a publishing company now.
Yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
I was going to say, if it's worth buying, I still actually go out and buy albums if the album's worth buying. My problem is there's a bunch of shit, and then you're going to try to charge somebody how much ever the fines are for piracy for listening to something? That's fucked up. One, an album's not worth how much ever, what is it, a $10,000 fine?
$48,000,
whatever the $1,000 is.
Yeah, most albums are not going to make that money ever back. I mean,
my copy, it's worth $10. That's how much you fine somebody whenever you crack down on them. It's like, you've pirated, I don't know, the Beatles White Album. Well, here's $20 for the Beatles White Album.
Come on, man. You should be using David Bowie examples.
David Bowie?
Too soon.
Okay. If you pirate Ziggy Stardust, you pay the price for Ziggy Stardust. You don't pay $40,000 in fines or $10,000 in fines. It shouldn't be you're about to lose your house because you downloaded a $10 album,
you know,
or a 99-cent song.
I would completely agree to that. It's like, okay, I will pay these, you know, even if it came down to like the iTunes, whatever, like 99 cents a song or whatever, like, okay, I have like 80 songs from this artist. You know, I'll pay that particular artist $80. I'm not going to pay Megacorp $80 for this album. You know, if you could say like, okay, I will agree to this fine of what the album is worth, which is what the fine should be, but all proceeds go directly to the artist. You know, I would actually support that legislation because it'd mean fucking over the big corporations and making sure that the artist got paid what they should.
Well, I mean,
the artist did get paid what they should. That's what the corporation paid them. The artist agreed to it. So I'm kind of opposed to that because you're still gutting property rights.
Well,
but property rights of a major corporation, not the person who's quote,
property
unquote,
rights are property rights,
property.
No matter who has them.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's not but, wrong. It's no more wrong to steal $1 million than it is a toothbrush. If somebody else owns it, you don't have the right to take it.
So.
I don't necessarily agree, though, that it should just be the value of whatever the song is because you stole it to begin with. There should be a penalty associated with it, not the exorbitant amount that it is today. However, there should still be a penalty.
Yeah,
if you
want to
do a punishment.
That's terrible.
I would say, yes, a punishment and then, like, community service or something like that. You have to host
these local artists on your file sharing service.
Or,
well, no. I mean, well, do it like, you know, the three-strike policy type thing, you know. The first time you get your fine plus slap on the wrist. Second time you get your fine plus community service. Third time you get your fine plus, you know, jail time. You didn't learn your lesson.
You really want to put somebody in jail for downloading David Bowie song?
It's the same thing as going into the store and stealing a toothbrush.
People don't generally go to jail for shoplifting, though. And that's even if you're stealing thousands and thousands of bucks a week.
If they get caught again, yeah, they do.
No. If you keep it under $500 each time you get caught, you will never go to jail for shoplifting. And even if you hit over the $500 limit,
that man's
done
research into this.
I've had to deal with this. Yeah, when it comes to shoplifting, I've had to deal with it.
Oh, wait, I thought you were planning for your retirement.
Oh. You know that maybe too, but people don't go to jail for shoplifting. Now, I can see if you want to do a penalty to try to deter the crime. Okay. Maybe 99 cents a song for the damages, and then throw in punitive damages. But the punitive damages shouldn't be as high as they are, and they should honestly be set by the court, not by the corporation.
Dude stole $80 worth of merchandise from Walmart, went to jail.
You know, so I do agree with Sag's point of the three strikes. Like, you know, if you are high enough on the radar to, like, you downloaded a song, you're not even a fucking blip up your affair. Like, you are downloading and distributing, like, you know, all these albums. Like, okay, if you're like the example, you get the fine and the punitive damages or the community service or whatever. You know, I can see that. Like, but what they're doing right now is just so ridiculously over the top, where people are getting higher sentences for piracy than they are for rape or murder or, like, you know, physical theft or any other damage.
I'm going to look up rape now in Britain, because we've asked this a couple of times.
I know. I throw rape out because it's, you know, it's a popular crime in Britain right now. Sorry, I went there.
Rape sentences are now an average of 8 years. That was from the Guardian of 2011.
Hey, look at that. 10-year prison sentence for piracy, 8 years for rape. You know, there's
something wrong with that.
Exactly. Like, there should really be some checks and balances in here. You know, I understand, you know, your three strikes rule, okay, you go to prison for, it's like, you know, your speeding tickets. You go to traffic court. You go to, like, MPAA fucking, you know, what was the 1984 thing? Reconditioning school or something like that. We're like, don't copy that floppy. Gets played like 24/7 for a month, and you come out and you just like huddle in a corner when everyone tries to download something. But this 10-year prison sentences and this $1 million fines are just fucking asinine. Like, they're taking it completely out.
But that is, to be fair, the population of the UK did say that's stupid. However, the current law is still 2 years.
And I think even 2 years is too much. I mean, it's a misdemeanor. I mean, you look at any other kind of theft other than Grand Theft Auto, which kind of throws itself into its own category with the whole Grand Theft bit, nobody's getting sentences that large. And, you know, it's not aggravated burglary, there's no weapons involved. I mean, you just happen to acquire this without paying for it.
Yeah, you're very likely not going to hurt anybody, I mean, physically.
So. Exactly. And so it's like, this should be treated as a lesser crime than it is. Right now, they're letting these corporations dictate the laws, and I am completely against that. And I think the vote of the UK public, their, you know, million to 21 vote kind of reflects that. You know, people using common sense are saying that, yeah, no, this is absolutely ridiculous. We're not going to send someone to jail for 10 years for downloading fucking Frozen just to shut their daughter up so that she won't start, like, fucking screaming all the time while they're trying to buy their meth.
All right, well, let's do this RT story, then we'll go into Digital Dojo. But it's a big, this is kind of the common thing we always hit. So, BSV, do you have anything you want to throw out on the piracy thing before I go on?
Pretty much. Well, everything's been said.
I think everybody else got a word.
I'm kind of sad that manslaughter has less time than rape.
Yeah, also that.
Well, that article, the article I linked is from 2010, I think. So it might be different. Probably not, but it might be.
Hey, we'll see in the coming months, because they're going to be getting more cases of that.
So, I don't know. Did anybody else have anything on that one before we move on? Because that was kind of a big deal. No? Okay. Last story is from RT. New snooping powers contained in Britain's draft investigatory powers bill could force cafes, libraries, and universities to hand over customers' confidential data to government authorities. Wi-Fi networks belonging to such outlets will likely be targeted under the legislation, which has been sharply criticized by privacy rights advocates and human rights groups. during the two-hour grilling by Britain's Joint Parliamentary Scrutiny Committee. Could we get a Parliamentary Scrutiny Committee over here too? We could use it. Wednesday Home Secretary, blah blah blah. So pretty much, this proposed legislation in Britain would require small-time, like, open Wi-Fi networks, universities, libraries, coffee shops, to hand over data to the government if the government requested it. Now,
so what I'm hearing here is the government hasn't learned to use FireSheet.
No, they have not. But the thing is, this legislation may require, and it's not clear, but it may require these people who run for open Wi-Fi to start logging everything that's done on their networks for a period of time and turn it over to the government if requested.
That's absolutely ridiculous, the request of a small business.
Yeah. By the way, you need to buy a $10,000 NetApp to store 2 years worth of customer data on your Wi-Fi. What's that really going to do? They're going to turn their Wi-Fi off.
Yeah. Or, you need to buy, like, you know, terabytes worth of hard drive storage and, you know, do incremental backups of all your Wi-Fi traffic.
Oh, and if something happens that you're not able to provide this data upon request, or requesting data that you weren't logging, we're going to fine you into oblivion. So, yeah, people are just going to turn their Wi-Fi off. It's the same reason you see websites shutting down their forums if they're in some of these places with the crazy anti-hate speech laws. It's like, you know, we're just not going to bother. We're just going to turn the forums off because we can't be bothered to do the work that would be required to run it.
They shouldn't have to police it, though. That's the main thing. Like, the disparity between physical and digital crimes is just so fucking wide.
Well, these fuckers in their government don't know what they're doing. They just see the internet and they go, "Oh my god, people are doing bad things. We have to stop it." And, you know, they start passing crazy laws without really thinking them through. Because they don't know what they're asking for.
Exactly. It's the same thing as, like, you know, spending 45 minutes explaining to an end user what a fucking URL is. You know, it's the same thing. Like, okay, these senators have no fucking clue what a URL is.
We've all done it. We've all sat there and explained to the idiot what this shit is. The idiot who doesn't know is the people writing the laws.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, I work in healthcare, so I'm praying that all these people I'm doing technical support for have taken a dump stat in healthcare. All of these politicians have taken a dump stat in charisma to try to get their shit elected and, you know, stay in office. And so they have no fucking clue what they're talking about, but when the people that...
I don't know, I like the idea that politics is show business for the ugly.
It is! Alright, so it wouldn't be charisma, it would be, what's the other stat?
Intelligence. No.
It's not persuasion.
Look, I'm crossing gaming platforms here.
Yeah. It's not persuasion, but it could be. It was comeliness. Comeliness is the old stat. Where, like, comeliness was your physical appearance, and charisma was your... Like, you could be Austin Powers ugly, but you can still convince, you know, the supermodel to sleep with you. Type thing. So these people are, you know...
They're calling it permanent suspicionless surveillance.
Poor shit.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I mean, yeah, maybe it would work more in the UK, but, you know, in the US, suspicionless, like, there's constitutional rights that prevent that, you know, allegedly, if the government or anybody follows the Constitution anymore. I don't know. I think this is the same thing where it comes down to, you know, private websites being forced to control what their users post in content, or like, does any, like, or the ISPs, you know, keeping track of all of their users' data. Yeah, I'm very comely all over her.
I'm sorry.
See, all you
finish your statement, then we'll let Madman Static and BSV get in a word, and we'll go to Digital Dojo.
Alright, sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
It's mainly drunken rant about the whole thing of like expecting a proprietor to police this or an ISP to police their users or anything like that. You know, it's physically impossible when you have millions or billions of people connecting through your ISP. There is no way in hell you can police what they, you know, submit, what they post. You know, what is the stat like? There's a new website every X amount of seconds created. Like, who the hell out there is going to be able to police anything like that? To try to hold a small business accountable for what their users are doing on their network is absolutely asinine, especially when you're looking at companies like Google and some of the other things that are trying to create, like, universal Wi-Fi and everything like that with their balloon system or whatever, where universal Wi-Fi is supposed to be approaching a point of becoming a right kind of thing. Like, everyone has a right to universal Wi-Fi, fresh water, et cetera, et cetera. Trying to make the end users answerable to the provider, it's ridiculous. There's no way in hell that the government can enforce this. I mean, they can try to hit these ISPs, but there's no way in hell that even a corporation the size of Microsoft, Google, Apple, anything like that, could devote the resources to sitting there and monitoring all of the traffic, making sure that everybody's on the up and up. There's no feasible way to do it, and trying to do this right now with a small business area, it's like putting a fucking taxation against them. It's going to absolutely cripple them.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
Goddamn right. Exactly.
All right. Madman, you got anything on what Fox has been ranting about?
No.
Static.
No.
BSV.
Yeah. All I have to say is that
he's not wrong. I mean, he's going off on how these people don't understand what they're doing. They're the ones making the rules. Oh, yeah. But...
Well, it seems they're more interested in just passing something to make look like they're doing something when they don't even check to see the feasibility of what they're doing. That
right there is the correct answer. That's it. They want to look like they're doing something even though they're not.
So. And remember, folks, I'm not wrong. I'm just an asshole. Yo!
Hadouken! Alright, first thing I got for Digital Dojo tonight, and it's a godsend for anybody who doesn't want to upgrade to Windows 10, although if you're getting those notifications, they've probably already installed the telemetry in your Windows 7. This is instructions from Microsoft Support. Qualified computers and devices that are deployed in your organization that are running Windows 7 Pro or Windows 8 Pro are eligible for the free upgrade, blah, 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 blah. This article describes the notifications and upgrade options and explains how you can manage these options. There are registry keys that you can push via group policy or just flat out put in the registry. Turn off the Windows 10 upgrade notification.
So it turns off the notification, but they've already installed the telemetry.
I'm sure they have. They pushed it out as part of their regular upgrades.
This has been debated. Sorry, go ahead, Morris.
So you still need to go install anti-beacon or whatever, but at least turn off all the telemetry stuff via group policy that you can, but at least you can turn off the damned pop-up.
Which is a plus. As far as the whole telemetry data from Windows 10 goes, has been debated, you know, ad nauseum at work already. It's like, I work in healthcare. There's HIPAA data. All the things that people sent, that Windows 10 is allegedly sending out, like, you know, key logs and sites visited and apps that are running, everything like that. It does beg to question, you know, what happens with a financial institution or a healthcare institution or something like that that cannot have their data mined by any company without violating, like, governmental protocols. How is Windows going to answer to all of this? Like that's the thing that I haven't really seen a big answer.
They're going to say, well, you should have turned it off in the pro version.
But it's something that shouldn't have been on. Yeah,
they're going to say you should have purchased the pro version so you could turn it off. Which is a bullshit answer, but you know that's what they're going to say.
That's number one. Number two, the software you're using should have security measures that are in place to prevent that.
At least in
healthcare, all of the software is at least 10 years behind. I mean, the upgrade to Windows 7.
What healthcare are you in then?
All healthcare.
Yeah, I work directly for hospitals. No, we are top of the line.
No. I work for a hospital, and it's, you know, all of our vendors know that their certification procedures, like the whole upgrade to Windows 7, was like fucking pulling teeth with them to get them to sign off on, yes, this thing will work 100% on Windows 7 and not XP. And so same thing with Windows 10. I'm sure it's going to be like fucking pulling teeth to get all these vendors to get the Microsoft certification that yes, my shit will work 100% of the time on 10 versus Windows 7 so that we don't like lose patient data or cause some critical failure in like an EKG system.
I kind of want to
see somebody stuck inside an EKG system for an hour because Windows updates decided it was time to run.
I guess I don't know what size company now, you work for.
My favorite horror from tech support hospitals that I've ever heard was a password reset at a critical moment.
Ooh.
Grub up. This man's got a camera up his butt, and you need to fix fix the computer so we can remove it. Because they can't. No, that's a true story. I have a buddy of mine who works for a medical center who he had to scrub up because the scope died in the middle of a procedure. And when that happens, because the doctors can't see what they're doing, they don't try to remove it, they don't pull on it, they just take their hands off of it until the camera comes back online. So he had to scrub up and go in there.
I have been scrubbed up in an OR suite during the middle of a surgery trying to get this computer to reconnect to the network.
Why
does it have to be on the network? Shouldn't everything in the OR be self-sufficient?
No.
I know is our hospitals are rolling out Windows 10 images now.
Really?
Yep.
Well, with the Pro, you can at least push group policy to turn most of the telemetry off.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, we've invested billions of dollars into it, though, so...
Yeah, we're probably not that big of a facility. Right now, we still have several workstations that are stuck on XP because the vendor hasn't signed off on that version for anything higher.
I'm actually seriously pushing at work. I've brought this up with the help desk several times. I'm trying to push this, and everybody thinks I'm kidding. I'm trying to push Chromebooks as a replacement to Windows operating systems. I honestly think it would be better.
No. Why?
Because I don't have to fight viruses all day long. It's a form of Linux. Chromebooks technically run Gentoo. I want to say I've got Gentoo deployed throughout the enterprise.
Yeah, it just depends on who you want to sell your data to, Microsoft or Google. I mean, I don't know.
At least Google already has most of it, so it's not going to be anything new for them.
Right.
Microsoft doesn't?
Yeah. No, I think somebody would have thrown the red flag up already because there are folks out there that watch all the telemetry off their Windows boxes, and if they were already doing that, it would have been red flagged.
They didn't think of it until recently.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, look at all the money Google's making. We should do that.
Exactly. No, but, like, our vendors and everything like that, it is a teeth-pulling operation to get them to certify for a specific version of Windows and make sure that all of the, like, 10,000 different applications we have are all compatible with everybody else. So if, like, you know, software A upgrades, that software B can still talk to it and make sure that they're compliant with both operating systems, it's a total clusterfuck.
So, final thing. Okay. Madman, do you have anything on this?
No, I'm good.
Static?
I'm good.
DSV?
Good.
Okay, just making sure we're not leaving anybody out. Wait, let me look through the list. Broadcast Box, do you have anything?
Yes, I do.
Sword!
Hang on, I've lost my cursor. Where's the...
That's a fucking 50 DKP minus!
There we go. Awesome.
I never noticed that the soundboard comes out of Guest Box. I always assumed it was...
You thought it was coming through my microphone, didn't you? No, the soundboard works for anybody who does shows. Madman, if we ever convince you to start that political show, you too will be able to play the soundboard back through TeamSpeak, because we all know you want to be able to bust out in the middle of talking about politics.
I want you to answer a simple question. Where in the fuck is my beaver rape scene?
How much will it cost to have you two on there? I mean, come on.
Where the fuck is my beaver rape scene?
I don't know what that movie is, but I now want to see it.
I don't know. It's just in the soundboard. Last thing I have for Digital Dojo tonight. This is awesome. Has anybody ever played with Code Academy before?
I've heard of it. And
that sounds really familiar.
I've never really jumped into it. Looked at a couple of the main things, but never really dealt.
Code Academy is a website for learning programming languages through the web, the language being simulated in the web browser. Type in your little scripts, it runs it, and yeah, I think it's actually running it in JavaScript, simulating whatever language, and it spits back the results saying, yay, you did it, or hey, you're stupid. So this website is called Code Bashing, and it's kind of the same thing, except this is a demo for their full paid-for product. I'm not saying go buy it, because I haven't either, so I don't actually know. But their demo for showing how to do SQL injection is actually pretty good. So it's a simulation of how to do SQL injection on a website. So if you need like a visual representation of showing somebody in management just how fucking easy it is to do SQL injection on a website, this is the link for you. Really?
Nobody is that as bad, sir?
Sorry, I was waiting for somebody else to... I've heard of Code Academy. I've poked around some of their tutorials. I've never really like delved deeply into it.
Bring out the gimp.
Mm-hmm. But he's sleeping. Wake him the fuck up, then.
BSV, would you not like a website that shows you how to do SQL injection? That's what this is.
I think it's a really great system. I've talked to a couple of coworkers that have used it before, just to like do fake penetration testing and get everything set up in something that doesn't break their live environment or their test environment even, just to kind of see what it does. I would highly recommend checking out Code Academy. Like from everything I've read and all the reviews I've seen, it seems like a great thing, even though I have not yet delved into it personally.
I played with it a little bit. I mean, it's useful, but this is cool because it's like how to do attacks set up like Code Academy. So that's all I got, and I have finished my pint, so I'm good and drunk.
Yeah, I've run out of scotch and the beer that I snuck off and got.
Static, you got anything before I start playing closing sounds?
No.
BSV?
Ditto.
Madman?
Nope.
You are about to experience a brief simulation of a psychotic episode in a patient with schizophrenia.
Crack is whack.